This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Oh no, it's not. I thought it started the live stream. So hang on, we're technically recording now, but let's go and see if it's showing up on our channel. How would I find it if it's showing up on our channel? Does anyone know that? I don't think it's going to work. I think I need to find someone who actually knows what they're doing.
Could you do the tech, George? Is that all right?
Yes. You've brought me here under false pretenses, haven't you?
Oh, you're producing this episode.
Oh, here we go. Hold on a second.
What are you on there, Julian? It looks like a double espresso. Is that what it is?
It is a double espresso.
Yeah.
A sweet Nespresso.
Hold tight. So.
Oh, do you have pods?
Yeah. Do you?
No, man.
They're good, aren't they? Oh, you don't?
No, I've recently slightly changed my opinion of the pods.
I think there's a little delay.
So you've made your delays in your brain.
Oh,
here we go. Right, so the live stream is technically working. How do I now get the link to whack it on fucking Patreon? That is, it's pretty exciting, actually. You know, there's some things you can do now. Sorry, I'm on a different tab. That's why. But like, I don't know how to.
We've never done that before, have we? It's quite good.
Julian, that's cool. You have your inhaler like it's a vape.
I know. I did a gig with a pharmacist the other day. Like, they were the comic. Ola. Do you know Ola?
Yeah.
And she's a pharmacist. And she was like, oh, my God. Like, just get mad how I used it. I don't normally do that, though. I do sometimes. I don't know what I'm on about.
What's your standard get up time in the morning?
Earlier. That's why I didn't set my alarm. It didn't occur to me that I wouldn't wake up. Do you know what I mean? Like, because I do the school run most days, so I'm up at like 7:30, 7:45 or something.
Yeah.
And then no kids. I just like the journey. Not really. And then it's my old score. Yeah, just. see, I'm not like really a late. I'm a late night sleeper though. I don't have much sleep at night.
Yeah, I often think I feel like I see videos on your stories of you kind of crawling the streets at night, quite late on.
Sounds about right. Right. Sorry, one
looking
second.
Looking for once. Lonely people.
I'm just going to test this link. Why aren't you working, you bastard? If it's not working, fuck off. Right, sorry. I don't really understand why that's not showing up. Sorry, guys. We might just fuck this off. Oh, share. Hold on.
George, you've got to be done by 11, have you? Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. That's fine. We'll just do it. I think I might have just worked it out. Hold on, one more thing. I tried to do this when I was testing it. It wouldn't let me do it without actually physically recording. Oh, I think we might be in. Hold on. One more thing. I'm just going to remember to snip off this. Imagine I left this all this just fucking dead air on the record. It's one of the worst bits of podcast that's ever been put on. All right, here we go. Here we fucking go.
I mean, it wouldn't be the worst podcast.
It wouldn't be the worst bit we've ever done, I don't reckon, actually, to be honest.
Be our best bit.
All right. Oh, why is... Oh, come on. Just waiting for the link.
I can't make it so all three of us are in a row. I don't know what I've done.
Yeah,
well, what are we in?
I think it will...
Carl's the biggest and me and you are on the side.
Yes. I don't think that's... I think... That's how I've done it, actually. I'm just a fucking wanker.
Oh, Carl did it like that. He paid extra. No, no.
It won't show up. I don't think it will show up like that in the...
you're in a row of mine.
I think I've got us all three in a line, so...
Okay.
Yeah, I think we're good. Here we go. Let's try this. I'm just going to whack this on Patreon.
Safe. I weren't actually late for the pod then starting, was I?
Well, technically, we were meant to start 20 minutes ago. You showed up 10 ago, so that's very much.
Oh yeah. I forgot that's how time works.
Here we go. I think it might actually work. Oh shit, it's working. Unbelievable. Live stream.
Zero questions, but it still works.
Yeah, it's working. All right, so let's just... here we go.
Should I put it in our WhatsApp while you...
Yeah, just say the link is now on Patreon, and then we'll get going. Here we go. Here we go, right. Here we go. And then let's begin. Let's bloody begin. Jesus Christ on a bike. The technology, eh? Done. Right. Let's get back to
this. Is it the first time that you've done this? So,
yeah, basically since we moved to Riverside, we've realised.
George is being sarcastic.
This is the first time you guys have met. Welcome to this new podcast where it's a 1 hour sound check.
This is the first time you've fucking done this, is it?
So it's the first, basically when I was playing
time
around
is
this
money.
Riverside,
do you think I've got all day?
It said you could stream it live. It's a secret stream, yeah. So I thought we'd give it a go, but I didn't realize it would take 15 minutes of you two just sat there quietly watching me just type like I'm in a fucking action film trying to hack into a mainframe.
I would have talked more, but I was thinking I'll save it for when we start the pod.
Cheers, mate. Thanks. It's nice and rude to George.
Welcome,
it's making George just sit there quietly. Like he's
That's
in,
why
he's
I just stared at George.
Anyway.
That's why I just.
Why
I didn't even talk to you, George. No,
anyway, this is welcome to the podcast, episode 214. We've got George Lewis, stand up comedian. Author. I know you've written a book because I've put a passage in.
Yeah,
your book.
Yeah, you helped me write it. Yeah.
And also now sort of, would you say now sketch artist in terms of your current
artist.
Well, you know, your current output on social media, a lot of it is like, you know, very funny sketches about parenting and stuff. Really funny. Do you know the one that I loved recently was the one about, you know, parents who don't think they're going to make different meals for their kids. And then you just talking through. Oh, yeah, obviously, like, and you just go, it just break down the reality of that. It's so funny.
Yeah, it's definitely like, that probably is just the main thing that I do now is doing that. I absolutely love just doing that stuff. It's because you can just do it from home, which is brilliant.
Yeah.
But also, nice. Like, do you ever find with... I always struggled with the fact that stand-up is just so... It's just immediately gone. The moment that you finish it, it's just gone. And well, then it doesn't exist anymore.
Weirdly, that is actually... I think this is one of the rare things. That's one of the things I've always loved about it. I mean, I'm quite a... but it's a bit of a hippie thing. I love the in the moment this happened, me and this audience will never be in this... We'll never be in the same room again, me and this selection of people. And I quite like that.
Sort left.
Do people never come back to your show?
They're never going to come and see me again.
I blagged them into this was going to be good.
So we're walking out never going, I will gonna, never do that again.
They are never going to attend live comedy again after this, right? So I know that that is a one and done situation.
So fleeting.
You know, so I think of it more as like Zen, me getting a walk out. But yeah, like I think that's the thing. There's some... every comedian has a different relationship with it. I think I've got a rare one, and I do genuinely love that. That's why I always get more, like, any time I've done anything on television or that, I find that so nerve-wracking because, to me, the thought of it being documented, you know, the thought of other people that finding it shit that weren't in the room, one really eats me up. But no, it is genuinely, I find at the moment it's put on camera, like, it took me so long just to get to the point of putting the odd clip out on Instagram because... in my head, I'd watch it. I'd do something. I'd think it was funny on the night, and then a few months later, I'd actually look through the footage and I'd be like, "Oh, that's funny." But then by the time
that's
I
funny
actually
when I called that guy a cunt in the front row,
I told that guy's job was shit for no reason in Northampton.
So that guy, he's got a stupid name. That was the clip.
Oh man, we're not naming that. I mean, we're not actually picking individuals out when we say this, but I do see some crowd work clips, and I just want to reply with, "That was really mean what you said to that person."
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that is not my vibe. Just digging someone out in the front row.
Oh no,
me neither. I find it so awkward that I hate it. I don't think if I wasn't doing this as a, well, I just don't think I would ever really go to live comedy. And I think that would be one of the that's one of the main reasons, because I think I just find it so uncomfortable that, and I'd hate to be that person.
I've been that person. Like, first ever time I went to stand up, I think I was 19 or 18 years old, and me and my mates went to the Banana Cabaret in London, and we got sat on the front. And again, this would have been the end of the 90s, like the bang on the sort of maybe the year 2000 it might have been actually. And Dave Johns ripped us to shit, man. And like a couple of my mates were loving it. They were just like, we are a boy band. Right, whatever,
that is a good line.
I just hated it so much. I spent the whole time just totally like fucking dying inside. And it's just, to me, that was like, even before I started comedy, and I didn't even know at that point I was ever going to dream of doing comedy, let alone actually doing it. Like, at no point did I watch in that experience think one day I'd love to be on stage slagging off a bunch of guys. And that's no slight on Dave Johns. It's not about him. It's more about my sensibilities. Mm. Sort of.
I remember, do you remember Nick Helm's show in 2010? It was really good, wasn't it? He said, I asked him if I could come, and he was like, yeah, and he got me a ticket. He's so gentle, isn't he? Like,
yeah, he's lovely.
Yeah, come, man. Yeah. And I went and I sat in the front row. And he fucking picked on me. But you know, like, he was fucking screaming in my face, though. And I'm just like, what the fuck are you doing?
Oh, man. She's going to take you on the way out.
You could do really personal stuff.
Yeah. Shamed me.
Oh,
he
man.
Just Me Too named me. Afterwards I said I hated that when you screamed in my face. He said, yeah, everybody does, man.
Yeah, it's weird that, isn't it? I find people do hate you when I shout directly into their face in front of a room of strangers.
I hate the attention though, like when I'm in the audience, man.
Yeah, it's but even like, I don't know, I feel anytime I've got into any sort of exchange of an audience member that has gone a little bit you know, even if they've heckled and I've then got a little bit shitty with them, I walk away feeling guilty. You know what I mean? I'm never
absolutely.
I've never been one of them comics who will walk away being like, yeah, I fucking destroyed that guy. I'll always be like, oh God, I think I just ruined his weekend. Yeah. Now I've got to kill myself. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know what it is. I think it's...
I don't think I can be horrible to... I mean, I don't really feel guilty, if, to be honest, if they're being arseholes, but I just think I can't be horrible and then go back to jokes. You know what I mean?
It's funny, isn't it?
Fuck, I can't just... I can't get annoyed. You know what I mean?
That's what I said, so, fuck your mum. And then it's like straight back to...
Can you just shut up?
Have you ever been on a night bus? Guys, and you're like, oh, God. Are you doing much stand-up? Is your stand-up, do you do it less than you did before? You're just now doing your own sort of tour stuff? Or are you still... Because we've not gigged together in a number of years.
Ages. Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's been... Well, kind of. So I stopped doing as much. Well, obviously... After lockdown, I don't think I was really doing as much, because that's when I wrote the book, and then that's when our kids were like really young, and then it got to the point where it was definitely harder to leave to go out and gig. But I was doing it, but then we've had another kid since, so he's like 8 months old. So like the first section of his life, I was doing a lot less live stuff, and I was doing more just like the online stuff. But as that's built, it's now meant that I can like sell tickets and that. So now I'm gearing up to do my own tour next year. But I've been gigging a lot more recently. I've been doing a lot more circuit stuff recently. And it's been nicer, actually. It's been nicer.
You're 8 months, but how old are the other two?
They are 4 and 5.
Okay, nice. Yes. It is like, I mean, I do find I was away gigging for... you know, the best part of 2 weeks here. My daughter's 3 and a half, and that's the longest I've been away from her, like by a mile since she was born. And it is, it's weird. I didn't like, you know, I felt a mix of guilty and sad like a lot of the time. Do you know what I mean? I'm not, again, this is something I remember starting out and gigging with, you know, guys in their 40s who were, you know, had a young family, and they fucking loved being away. loads of them were so happy to be in a travel lodge in like Cardiff.
And away from their family. Oh,
and they talk
God.
About it like, oh man, I'll get such a good night's sleep tonight. And then I always thought, oh, that's what it just must be like to be a parent. And like, and I don't know, I don't know if I'm in the minority or that was just an extreme, but like now I don't have that at all. I sleep worse when I'm away from my wife and daughter, because I think I don't have the anchor to keep me sort of as sane as I am when I'm with them. I know what you mean.
It's funny you mentioned Cardiff as well. That's the one that I remember as like the first time I was like, oh, this is a bit like, I think you were there actually, Julian.
Julian was that guy.
I was trying to drag you to strip clubs.
Come on, mate. Really. When are we going to be away from our families again?
Come on, man. Turn your phone off. Look, do this.
Put a sort of feeler out, just saying, yeah, I think my phone battery is about to die, but I'm going to head back soon. Boom. Standing here in the chicken dippers.
There's no reception in this bloody hotel.
In this city.
Yeah, in Cardiff, all the towers have gone down in Cardiff. I'll speak to you on Sunday when I get home.
In this rural place. What are we, in the sticks?
I remember wandering around at the quay there just during the day in Cardiff,
It's so lonely, like, isn't it, and sad.
Like, it's not, I mean, it's, don't get me wrong, when I worked before having a family, I didn't mind it, you know what I mean? Because it was that thing of, you know, what was the alternative? But like, ultimately, after the years of doing it, you do suddenly, like, you know, I got to the point just before having a kid of, I'd hit the wall of, there's only so many loops of TK Maxx you can do just to pass the time in a city. You know what I mean? God. It's always the same shit, isn't it? Oh, you're popping to TK Maxx. I'll go, I'll do another lap of H&M. Like, every shop's the same in every city, and you just find yourself mooching constantly.
Yeah.
Drinking coffees, and like, you spend 80 quid in a day because you eat 4 meals out just because you're bored.
Yeah.
I find it depressing being on my own in a city, though, walking around. I don't enjoy it, really.
Unless it's in a city I've never been to before. And then I'm quite a good solo traveller when it comes to, like, oh, I've never been here before. I'll do some sightseeing. I don't mind doing that on my own. But when it's somewhere you've been 1,000 times, I was ready to have a child and start just being a bit more of a home bird.
My first Edinburgh, like, when I did the whole run, I got there and I just went to, because I pictured the apartment being really lush. I don't know why, because I paid so much. Like, it's so expensive, isn't it? You think, fucking hell, this is going to be like a penthouse.
Yeah.
And I got there and it was just this dead, room, and it had nothing in it, and it just had a single bed and all dusty and like, and I felt choked in my throat. Like, I missed my kids so much. I was choked up for about the first 4 days, and I was trying to, but everyone's out partying and that, and I'm like sober. I felt so lonely, like in a crowd, you know what I mean?
Wasn't it Ellis
James? And I'd be just telling people I miss my kids.
Oh man. Wasn't it Ellis James who got to like one of his first Edinburghs? And they'd organised their flat and that. But obviously you can't view an Edinburgh flat until you're in it.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Got there and he found out his bedroom was essentially a converted walk-in wardrobe, right? And it was literally in the back of somebody else's bedroom. So to get to his room, you had to walk through another bedroom for the whole month. You had to just live out back of someone else's bedroom. Like, it's absolutely horrendous. God. You'd just be like, nah, I'm out, mate.
I'd have got a bank loan and got at the fucking hotel or something.
Yeah.
Or gone home, pretended I was ill.
There's not enough
of that.
Weird.
It's so weird, Edinburgh. I think
you did it a couple of times, didn't you?
Yeah, so the first year that I did a full month was like doing the Pleasance Reserve, which, if people don't know, is where they get newer acts and there's four of you on a bill and then you and it's like a pretty sweet deal. Like, they put you up for the whole month and...
Yeah, I did that, over in the Meadows.
What?
I did the Reserve in 2011.
I'm like, that wasn't...
I just did my own gig in the Meadows.
Yeah, it's not the one I did, actually. We did it in the Pleasance.
No, we had
an actual room. You're talking about the Lady Boys of Bangkok, right? That's the one that's on the Meadows.
You got to dance for them in the green room.
same one. But yeah, I remember thinking, oh, this is going to be sweet. And I remember just finding it like a real slog. And then I was thinking, Jesus, well, if I'm not enjoying this that much, this is like the best of it, really, isn't it? And then when I went back a full month, like my own show, I mean, I liked it for some reasons. And it was when we just had one kid and he was up there with us. And that was quite nice. But it was like, I just felt like the anxiety and the competition that was like surrounding you, it felt really uncomfortable, I found it.
Yeah.
I could never really enjoy it. But I always look to people, especially like you, Carl, and I think, he looks like someone who knows the way to do it. Like, you seem to be using it as like a creative. Whereas Julian,
what did you look to me at for?
Look to him like, that is not how you do it.
Does he even do stand up, that guy?
Walking around crying.
Crying about his kids. That's some negative energy, man. Get him away.
But I think, again, I'm lucky. Mine, it's, none of it is really conscious. I've always just, first time I went to Edinburgh, I had no idea what Edinburgh was. You know what I mean? I literally had no concept of what it was. And I found it so exciting because there was so much going on. And, you know, I was young and I just loved it because it was like a month long party. So my first couple of years in Edinburgh, probably two of the best times of my life. You know, them first, like when I went up and did like a couple of weeks when I was brand new on the Free Fringe with mates. We had the time of our lives because we'd only done a handful of gigs and suddenly we're gigging every day in a packed room and just having a laugh. We were like, fuck, this is what comedy can be like. The next year I went up and did the Comedy Zone for Avalon at the time, when they were still running that show. And that was like a prestigious showcase where we were in one of the best venues, like best rooms. It was like a really historical thing. So I was like, fuck, this is amazing. And the next year I did my debut solo show. Oh no, I did a double header with John Robbins. And that was just, it was a small room and we were just pissing around and drunk all month. And that was fun. And then I did my debut show and had a great, so I had like my first 4 years in Edinburgh where you go through all them big moments of ticking off things you do. I just had the best time of my life. So I've always associated it with good times. I never went in and had that negative first experience. So it's pure just like luck and timing, really. Whereas I know some people just went up the first couple of times, had a nightmare, and they cannot get out of their system. They'll only ever think of Edinburgh as a shithole, and it's horrible. And, you know, it's just, yeah. And I think it's more like what you just experienced when you were young, basically.
Yeah, I don't really. I think my first experience was doing So You Think You're Funny, and I went up there for one night and didn't have a great gig.
Was no.
And at least I cleared up the question, do you know what I mean?
You came last in it, but you came first in So You Think You're Dog Shit.
So You're Not Funny. Oh.
So you've proved you're not. Okay, cool.
Well,
who was in your
ain't.
So You Think You're Funny?
What's that?
Who was in your So You Think You're Funny here?
Holly.
Oh, yeah.
Walsh, Holly Walsh, John Smith.
I think it's Holly Willoughby.
John Smith, Math Brown, maybe. Oh, he was there. I don't know if he was on. I think he might have been. I don't know.
I didn't want a list of audience members as well, mate.
Oh, sorry.
Did you do any of them competitions, George?
Yeah. Well, that was it, actually. The first experience of Edinburgh were always dead nice because that was it. It was going up for a few days to do the competitions. Like I did, what did I do up there? I did So You Think You're Funny and Amuse Moose. In fact, that was great because that was like, because I won the Amuse Moose one. And it was it'd gone up for like a very short amount of time, done that. I'm like, this is fucking brilliant up here. And then the BBC one I did up there as well. So, there's been like nice memories, but.
It's, who did you live with when you were? Did you have like, that's again, that's because obviously if you went up with your family, that's a different experience as well to like, you know, staying with.
Yeah.
A bunch, especially the ones where like, I don't know. I had one Edinburgh where I stayed with people I didn't normally stay with. And even though they were mates, they weren't my sort of like little posse who we could create our own little enclave away from the fringe. And that one was the most stressful fringe I ever had because they were both very much, you know, sitting around reading out reviews off Chortle and stuff during the day. Whereas normally the people I live with are very much like the house is the haven, man. No one's reading out a review in that house. You know what I mean? You're keeping that shit
really
in the
nice
WhatsApp
review.
Groups, bro.
Exactly. Our house was really nice for the Pleasance Reserve because it was exactly that. It was like a haven because it was me, Alistair Beckett King,
nice.
Michael Strani, if you know him, and Yuriko Katani. So it was a very
lovely.
Calm
that's a nice.
Space.
Yeah,
it
it's a quite that's a that's a nice gentle house. No one's doing coke at 9 a.m. at the end of a big night out there, are they?
Yeah, my house actually was nice. It was when I first met Joe Lycett, and we got on so well. And he's such a positive light, isn't he? He was really nice. And Luke Benson, do you remember?
Lovely Luke. He lives over here now. Hmm? Luke lives in Melbourne. I've seen him a bunch of times.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I ain't seen him for years. And Jim Campbell.
Oh, Jim's there. Jim? That's a nice gang.
Yeah, it was nice, man.
No broads ruining the vibe.
No.
It was a comedy
no
show we were doing.
Yeah.
It was like 12 years ago, mate. They weren't. didn't have all these rules that they got now.
Weren't no dames.
It's amazing, like to think. You know, when like obviously there's some people that like, oh, bloody hell, nowadays, you know, you used to be, if you were funny, you'd get on a bill. And it's like, that's not obviously not true. But I remember, like, I swear to God, I used to do lineup, I used to do weekend after weekend. I reckon for years, I did, you know, I reckon one weekend a month, there'd be a non bloke, like, you know, it would just be, it was so mad how blokey the circuit was when I started out. Like, it is, it's a much nicer, affair these days in dressing rooms, isn't it? It's not.
Yeah.
It's not.
Oh, that reminds me.
There's not as many old miseries around.
Yeah, definitely. That that first year when we were doing the Pleasance Reserve, I remember after our first show we finished, and Brendan Burns was on after us. He was after us.
And sorry, so we finished our show. Brendan's an old mate of mine. I think even his mates, when you're talking about Brendan, go like, that is as a changeover in Edinburgh for like venue changeover, that 15 minutes you get between shows, you know, it's a lottery as to who you get. You either get somebody who's super chilled and like, how was the show? Cool, man. All right, see you later. And you're like, I have a good show. Lovely. But if you get somebody who's like a full on, like a bloody hurricane, like Brendan, just like, blah, blah, it's like, yes, that's a different beast, isn't it? In that sort of quite high stress environment.
Absolutely, yeah. So the, it was such
was
a
he
contrast.
Before you or was he after you? Sorry.
He was after. So the year that I did my debut show, Sindhu V was after me, and it was the perfect person. So lovely. We're just talking about normal stuff and that. With Brendan, I remember we finished our first show, like the preview show, and afterwards, I think we were hanging around or something, and afterwards he lined us all up, all four of us, and made us tell him which one of us overran.
Oh my god.
We were like, what the fuck is going on?
Obviously, I mean, that is from somebody like from Brendan, who is not, I don't think he's famous for his timekeeping, you know what I mean? Like, that's there's some people I'd be like, yeah, man, yeah. You know, somebody who's on the second, but Brendan was a bit more fluid. I don't think he should be like dishing out some insults.
It was so weird.
Oh, it's funny, man. I'm
lining
to think
you up, though. That's Eureka. Strong, isn't it? Like,
right, everyone in a line. Yeah. It's rudeness, man. We should probably just realise we need to get on with some... Let's do some questions from the group that we had. I mean, somebody's just asked a really funny, just real-life question to the three of us, which is, can you... ask George the best way to save money on your gas and electric this winter, which is a nice question. So no, I don't know if you've got any tips. I do think actually you've got quite solid sort of dad energy. Obviously, the fact you've written a book about being a dad suggests you back yourself. But no, but like what I mean is, there's different types of dad. I feel like you're quite a sort of sensible around the house.
Yeah, I mean, I must 1,000 times a day say, can you shut that door, please? Can you shut that door, please? Can you? And I hate myself for saying it. God, every time I do that, my wife just likes me less and less. But that's the thing, the heat, it takes so long to heat the house.
I always find myself, I always get annoyed at myself. Whenever I hear myself saying careful to Twyla when she's like doing something, like, I always stop. I don't do it a lot, but you know, obviously, if she's doing something mildly, you know, it's a bit of peril to it. I'm normally quite good at just standing back and letting it, you know, just trust her. Yeah. You know what I mean? But every now and again, you're not thinking straight, and you see her doing something, you just be like, careful. And in your head, you're like, don't put it in her mind that there's an issue. Yeah. There, you know what I mean? It is that trying
to
be a
bit more.
Yeah, because
you're meant to do it in a. You're meant to say, like, focus or something like that, aren't you? Or
I'm not a coach. You're
supposed to slap them and say, fucking pay attention.
Drop and give me 20.
Fucking stupid. Why are you always stupid?
But did you read many parenting books? Obviously, as somebody who's basically written a parenting book, did you read a lot before you wrote it?
Yeah, definitely. And that was the thing, because I felt like I'd read quite a few, and it was a lot of like the dad ones were like, it was certainly the ones I had were like quite American and quite blokey. Yeah. They were a bit like,
I hate that.
She's going to put on weight afterwards, but you know, don't worry. It's like, oh, mate.
Yeah. Don't worry. Worry. She's got a sister.
Yeah, don't worry. You can always get a side ting.
Always bang a colleague at work.
But no, but it's, I hate that sort of, a lot of stuff aimed at dads is some of the shittest, like just almost old fashioned bullshit I've ever heard.
Yeah. Or just speak. Did you read like a lot? Thick as fuck. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Oh yeah, this is like, it talks to you like you've never considered what it must be like to look after a baby. Like, you know, you're gonna be tired. It's like, oh really? No one's ever mentioned that. You fuckhead. But Did you read any of like them sort of like, you know, the Philippa Perry type ones, you know, the book you wish your parents would have read and all that? They're the ones that I found, you know, the most, you know, sort of almost challenging in the sense of like, you know, and I know she's not trying to create an ideal, but she's just saying this is like a nice way to do it from a psychologist's perspective, but it does make you think like, I could not live like this. This is like, come on.
You can plant little seeds here and there, can't it? Like, I suppose.
Yeah,
stuff
but I
like
think
that,
it's,
but...
most of it again is common sense. You know, don't patronize your kids. Don't, you know, do always try and come at everything from a place of understanding and compassion, whatever. But, you know, I don't think you can just all, every 100% of the time, if your daughter, if you catch your 3-year-old running down the hall with a fucking kitchen knife, in the moment you've got to react in a way. You've got to resolve the situation.
The right,
you know, you can't. You know what I mean? I do
That's
think
so it's creative, but please put the knife down.
You know, sometimes you've got to, I do think, stress the boundary slightly more sternly than just always with therapy talk. You know what I mean? So like them ones,
I think those books are good.
Read.
I think they're good for like just planting the seed of an idea. Because I definitely remember reading that and thinking, like, even this sounds stupid, but even weird stuff by like just treating your kid as a person. You know what I mean? Like,
they are
people. You know, and that's
they are.
I didn't know that.
Talk to them, even when they're babies. Talk to them and read to them and stuff like that.
And just seeing stuff from their point of view and things like that. I feel like that's something that you don't often do.
Dumb.
You maybe
point
wouldn't instinctively
view.
Do.
All the wrong shit they're saying.
Sorry.
I've got a lag, haven't I? I think it's my lag.
I think, I mean, it's
I just think you're a bit rude
on...
interrupting. I think you should read a book
on
manners.
You're a prick.
I can't write a book on manners then, can you? carry on. Both of your videos have been off for ages. I don't know if that...
But it does that just as a reserve, but it's not for the actual recording.
Oh, okay,
it's more for just to save bandwidth. So it comes out better quality. But what were you saying about... talking to them as a person.
I was just saying that it's good to plant those ideas, and then I think that helps in the moments when you're getting too like stressed with them and stuff like that and seeing it from their point of view. But I also think it's good, and that's what I've learned from like doing the videos that I do, it's fine to then just completely fail all the time and do it wrong because you realize that that's what everyone's doing, everyone's
messing
that's
what I mean
it up. And it's,
you know, I know I definitely
cool.
was
that's
a fine. I thought pre, you know, I thought I'd be much, I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not, you know, Twyla isn't sitting on an iPad all day or anything. I've got boundaries with screen time and stuff, but in my head, there was a romantic idea. I was like, she's never going to have any screen. Like, you know, we might watch a bit of CBeebies, but she is never looking at a phone screen. And then it's like, I'd not like legislated for the fact we were going to have car drives when, you know what I mean? When she's sat in the back of a car for an hour, and what is rude to expect her? What? Oh, yeah, just sit there and just stare at the back of the seat like I had to do when I was a kid, because back then there wasn't the technology. I do like if we're having a car ride that is like 20, half an hour or something, often if Hannah drives, I sit in the back with Twyla and we just mess around. Yeah, you know I mean, I'll be like, I'll do that to not have screen time. But if it's like, you know, if it's me driving us. It's just, if it's just Twyla in the back and I'm driving us somewhere, it's like, fucking get it on there, mate. Watch whatever dog shit you want to watch. But like, I suppose it's hard. But then at the same time, you know, I do see some people was just like, that's their default, innit? Kids are just all on them. And I'm like, I don't know if that's, I would lean more towards the hippie.
As long
parenting.
As there's balance with it and they're doing real stuff as well, eh? Like, loads of like, arts and crafts and painting and like she loves making stuff constantly and then she will go on her iPad sometimes though, or she's got an iPhone actually. But last night after the gig I was driving past her house and I just grabbed her. We went to McDonald's about midnight and just watched, but I put my phone in the car and we just watched a film in the McDonald's car park. It was but I can do just the fun stuff because I don't live there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I do homework and that with them, but I just try and make it all
fun. All the wrong answers, because you don't know what they're talking about either.
That's why they failed.
Yeah. Did you ever read the book?
You've got a few, haven't you, Julian?
Yeah, my youngest is 10, so she's the one. Like, I do
she's
loads
the one that
of
you
stuff
care
with
about.
Her. Yeah, no. But the others are kind of a lot more independent, you know what I mean? Like, they do their own thing. I do take Bo to the gym and spa, and that's quite a lot. Verity just doesn't really want to... The others don't really want to do anything. My two older boys.
What's this for? Oh, this is a weird question from the group. Oh, it's so long. This is a long... It's one of them would-you-rather questions. All right, we'll do it. We'll do it. We'll get out of the way quickly. It's, you know, it's got to be done. This Go is from Jay. He said, would you rather have jammy Dodgers for eyes, meaning you have permanent red vision and you can cry jam, or shortbread for lips, meaning every time you speak, you spit crumbs? I mean, there's no right or wrong answer here, is there? That's the truth.
No.
Yeah. I mean... The shortbread lips to me is the obvious choice
I mean, it feels slightly less hassle. It's annoying, but crying the red tears or crying jam and constantly
jam's
seeing
so
red
sticky.
Vision.
Like,
you'd have to go with the lips, thing. Innit?
I think so. Here's a fun question, because this is from Will. Question for George. Carl is starting every day of December with a cocktail. What's the most what's the most questionable decision you've ever made for the sake of your comedy or your career? Which is it's a loaded question there aimed at me. But man. You know, it's I will say I'm 3 days into my booze advent calendar, and it is not as hard as people would think it is to drink a cocktail at 8 a.m. I know it sounds weird. It shouldn't be easy, but it rather is.
Well, I think I watched that and I'm like, at first I watched him and I thought, is Cal faking this? Like, he's not going to actually drink it, is he? But obviously you do.
Some people do think I'm faking it. But I mean, I think the legitimacy does come through. I mean, I've never ever, now this is my third year of doing it, I've never once faked the drinking of it. I've never once sort of done secret pours away. You know, once I commit to something, it's happening, mate. I don't care how.
Yeah.
Horrendous and debilitating it is. I don't care how bad a decision it is. I'm bloody doing it. But
does it? Because I watch it and I think, oh, that's. I can imagine doing it, but I know that if I did that, I'd feel like, oh, I just want to settle in now and carry on.
There is. You've got a. Luckily, I have. And it sounds like a contradiction, but I've quite a healthy relationship with alcohol. For somebody who's drinking 24 mornings in a row,
sounds it.
You know, I'm very good at. Again, it's the boundary. I'm good at a boundary, so I'm like, right, I'm going to drink my coffee.
Right, that's the end of this week's public episode. We hope you enjoyed it. What happens now, Julian?
They can, if they want to hear the rest of the episode, they can go over to patreon.com/wearetv.
There you go. Once you've signed up there, you can hear the rest of the episode. You can hear all the old Patreon episodes, exclusives, whatever.
It's 45p a week.
Is it? Is it? That's cool. Mm. I didn't know that.
Easy life.
There we go. It's even cheaper than I thought. So do that. And but if not, don't worry. You can listen to next week's public episode when it's released. Thanks.
Thank you.
Ronnie, you used to die of AIDS in an alleyway.